Elina Meke Aloha, I'm Joshua Cooper, and welcome to Aloha Sustainability in Hawaii and Peace in Our Pacific, the UN SDGs Movement in Moana Nui Kea. Today, it's Ua Mau Ke Ea Oka Aina I Ka Pono, the UN Global Goal of the Right to Life on Land in Hawaii. Nei. The UN Sustainable Development Goals provide 17 global goals to accomplish and actualize the 2030 agenda around the world. UN SDG 15 ensures protection, restoration, and promotion of sustainable practices for our island ecosystem. The UN SDG 15 calls on humanity to sustainably manage our forests as well as halt and reverse land degradation while promoting biodiversity. Today, joining me are four amazing advocates of Aloha Aina, sharing their experiences and discussing what we can all do to make Hawaii a better place. Lei, can you share a bit why this issue is so important and imminent to you?
Well, aloha. O Larile Ishikawa ko inoa, o Wainuku ko ohana, o ne hanao, o Maui ko o mokupuni, o Haleakala ko u mauna, o Kula ko u moku, o Pailoko ko u aloha aina. I'm Larile Ishikawa, and today, I feel that this issue of protection and of protection of our aina is the most important for all of us here that live in Hawaii. We are an island. We live, we grow our, you know, we raise our children and our grandchildren. So we need to protect this place that we love so much. For me, when we talk about sustainability or malama aina, I always think about how we protect our own children, and our aina is our children, our plants are our children, our oceans, our rivers. Those are all our children. We'll protect it with our lives, you know. And for me, when I say protect, I also mean sustain it. We want to teach our children. We want to pass this ike on to them that our own kupuna have taught us in ike Hawaii, ike kupuna. You know, I look at all of these wonderful people faces here, and I see that all in all of us. And for me, as a cultural practitioner, it's being able to reclaim that cultural practice, the practice of, for me, it's kapa, hana kapa, and but it's all our cultural practices as a lava'a, of our carvers, our healers, all of those cultural practices is what's going to help us become sustainable and to protect our aina. I hope that.
Mahalo, Lei. Namea, can you share a bit?
Aloha mai kakou, o vau o Namea Aia, ki ahi, e pilikoko nei o ko o makanaha, ke kahawai, ke oni hanau o mala, oia hanau o mahi ai kalo, a me kalawa ea. Aloha mai, my name is Namea Aia Kiahi. My blood relations to this place of Lahaina is in Kahoma Kanaha, where the stream goes down to Mala, where my ohanas of my birthplace of the Kiahi and Haya ohana. My ohanas have been mahi ai, kalo farmers, and lawaiyas, upelo fishermen, once known in this area of great abundance of great mass of ia and fish. And so my role here is, you know, I work at Maui Nui Botanical Garden as a Hawaiian cultivars manager. So I manage all the collections of from ko, awa, kalo, uala, sweet potato, ulu, and many other foods that once grew here. Yeah. And so my role is a culture educator, as a culture practitioner, is trying to pass on this ike of our kupuna of malama haloa kalo itself. And so a lot of my focus has been what I do. I manage 65 color varieties at Mauinui. And so mostly, you know, not talking about cultivations, but even going into more of the sustainabilities where our focus has been within the generations of how much we lost because of the sugar plantations. And so a lot of our displacement within our people as well, we come across what is more sustainable, because when we talk about issues of mostly 96% of foods that are coming in. And so we have to really think about sustainabilities in sense of where are we going? You know, where we have to be at, because in this situation, I think it thinks about the dramatic pandemic that we went through. And so how can we rely on ships that's coming in and not provide, and which we cannot even sustain ourselves on our own island? And so a part of my educational workshops is trying to really build up the community, really trying to grow their own and be more self-sufficient in their place. But mom.
Well, Lemaire, moving on to Kainoa, sharing and building on that aspect of self-determination, can you share a bit about Pukukui Watershed and all the other amazing advocacy that you do regarding life on land?
Aloha kako, and Kainoa Pestana, conservation manager at Pukukui Watershed Preserve, Mauna Kala, via 8,600 acre private nature preserve. And just to kako what everyone had already said, and the main thing about what we're doing here is protection and sustainability. And when we talk about all of the resources we have, Pukuku is one of those resources that gives us the ability to be cultural practitioners, gives us the ability to be cultural doers, that we know that what goes up must come down, and everything up in the forest will take care of everything down in the lowlands. And so it's important that we protect aina. And when we say aina, it doesn't just mean land, but it means resources. Yeah, it means all of the resources from at the very tip at Pukukui and Haleakala down into the oceans where the Opelu live, and everyone work together. And so when we talk about sustainability, it's important to know not just one piece is where all the answers come from, but every piece of all of that connects into a long mo'o and a succession. And when we can get to that, to know that if we don't have one resources, then we won't have the other. And so that's why it's important for everyone to know that everyone plays an important role, has kuleana into the larger cycle. And so I think it's getting everyone to know that everyone plays a part. And we cannot rely on the boats coming in. Like Namea said, there was a time when 500,000, 800,000, a million Kanaka lived here. We found the balance between the two. And we're more innovative now. We have the ability to go back and see what they did, and technology today to find a great balance between two. And so I think it's important that we find that balance to protect and push us forward. And so, yeah. At Pukuku, we're just trying our best to keep the water flowing. If as long as we got water, then we have all these other resources. And so mahalo for having us here today, Joshua.
Mahalo, Kainoa. Moving on to Kaliko. Kaliko, can you share a bit about the important work that you're doing as well to make sure that we perpetuate this aspect of taking care of the aina first and foremost?
Mahalo, Josh, for having us. Aloha mai kakou. I'm Kaliko Store. I represent Hyatt Resorts Maui, and part of my role with Hyatt Resorts Maui is to help us to really give perspective to the word we call kama'aina. And so I've learned through pilina, through relationship, that we have a lot more to do when it comes to educating our own kama'aina and those that work in the hospitality industry. I know it's a hard line sometimes to draw. And so for some of us that work in the industry, it's important to become kama'aina. And I learned that from someone that's on this meeting right now, that in order to do that would obviously be to get into these places. So part of my role with Hyatt Resorts Maui is that, one, I am the culture conduit for the Hyatt on Maui. Hyatt's on Maui, so that would be the Hyatt Regency Maui in Lahaina. That would be the Andaz Maui at Wailea in Honuaula. And it would be the Hana Maui Resort in Hana. And we have a program that we call Ho'olana, which is an onboarding 2-day orientation. But part of that orientation is to become kama'aina. And that happens when we go out into Aina. And so here in Lahaina and in Honuaula, we visit Pu'upukui watershed. And we do whatever hana needs to be done. And that is whatever hana needs to be done. It's not done in a classroom. It's done out on Aina. In Hana, we do the same. We partner with Mahele Farms, which is part of Makahana Ka'ike. And we do whatever needs to be done. And that is how we build pilina between hospitality and ohana and our kayaulu. And it's a slow-moving work, but slow is better than not doing anything at all. So that is the aina approach that we take. And we understand that we are definitely making progress. And it's always, I learned in the mountain, it's always to make good progress with boots on the ground. So that's the approach that we take with from Makai up the street.
Mahalo, thank you so much, Kaliko. And looking at Global Goal 15, it really centers around the belief that a flourishing life on land is the foundation for our life on this planet. And more importantly, all of you really embody that Kanaka Maoli cosmology and cultural worldview, comprehending and respecting the relationships that you are sharing in harmony with nature, but also with one another. Maybe you could share with us a bit, Lei, on looking at 15.1 and 15.2 of this important global goal. It focuses on ensuring conservation, restoration, and sustainable use of terrestrial and inland waters, ecosystem, and their services, in particular forests, wetlands, mountains, and dry land, but also promotes implementation of a sustainable management of all types of forests, halting deforestation, restoring and degraded forests, and substantially increasing afforestation and reforestation globally, but also on Maui and around the world. What do you think we're doing today that's having a best impact in a positive way? Because it's really been shared well that this system of sustainability already existed for up to at least 1 million people. There were no worries about when is the next boat coming in, but we didn't seem to learn too much through COVID. It was a great time during COVID. I enjoyed my time being there more with Pu'ukukui. But it didn't seem like everyone else learned those lessons. Can you share a bit with us, Lei, in that context?
I guess what I feel that what all of you have said was cultural practices. What I heard was having or reclaiming our cultural practices in some way to help us move forward. And that's one thing that COVID has taught me, is that knowing what was really important to myself, to my family, and especially to my aina. You know, at Pailoko, Pailoko is a learning center that we have in Waiheke Valley. And we welcome, before COVID hit, about 3,000 kids that would come to Pailoko, and they would do some kind of cultural practice with us. If it's malama aina, if it's making fire or making kapa, you know, we always introduce our stories. And I think that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about, is that we have all this history from our kupuna. They give us olelo no eaus, Hawaiian proverbs, or they give us these stories that teach us a lesson. You know, there's a lesson in each of the stories. They talk about, they use the Hawaiian language in a way that expresses something that is very hard for us to express in English. And so we have these things of our genealogy, our olelo no eau, our meles, our rituals, and all of those things kind of put together to help us reclaim our identity, reclaim our land, reclaim our sources, because now we know how important our resources are. We understand a little bit more. You know, for me, I didn't know anything about kapa for 20 years, you know, and all of a sudden, something happened where my kumu asked me, can you help me make kapa for our Ibi Kupuna? And so, and that one little ask, maybe you go jumping into this whole new world of kapa. And with kapa, you have, of course, the cultivation and the making, the process of kapa, but you also have all these other beautiful plants that all have something to do with kapa. And then you have all these different ceremonies that have to do with kapa and stories. And most of all, the makahana ike, you know, learning and doing, and then the velo ohana, by teaching your ohana, teaching your community. So long story short, I think it's by us reclaiming our cultural identity in whatever practice it is what's going to help us sustain our aina and our aina's.
Mahalo, Namea, building on that, what would you like to share?
I kako dile Ishikawa, because, you know, when we talk about our Ibi Kupuna, we talk about our aina itself. You know, when it became the pandemic, it was really crucial of our people in our communities of what do we have to do into making our move into our traditional life. Because when it came down to, you know, providing ai for your own ohana, where was it? Where was it that time? And so really going into communicating with our, you know, doing educational workshops for these community of doing kulolo, doing pa'iai, doing ka'poi, no, aipono. Those type of things needed to be implemented in our communities. And so with Antile, with Pai Loko, doing that introduction with that, our Marinui, Pukukui. So we all had a place in this role. And it was very important for us, because where do we go after that? You know, and that's where the direction has always been. Where do we go? And so, you know, for ourselves, you know, there's a lot of things that's happened, especially, you know, Kimalama Aina, then the whole things of Malama Ibi Kupuna, because there are a lot of things that our families was holding back, returning back to their kuleana, their aina hanau, and taking care of the land. But other than taking care of malama aina, yeah, has to malama the ibu kupuna. And so a lot of our families from Lahaina returned back home. And that was the implication too. Like, you know, we got so caught up in our lives that we forgot them. We forgot that the other side of us. And so that's one other returning of the ho'i. You know, you have to return to something that was piliana to your place. And so, like, for myself, you know, trying to really gauge and really focus on our community, that was always my passion, you know, because I learned from a lot of kupunas and they are no longer here. And so trying to retell them mo'olelos, even going to mo'okua ho'o genealogies, you know, I just came back from Big Island and I just found my tutu that was buried in Hilo. And so just to reiterate, all the things that I do was always for our lahui, our ohana, our kaya'ulu. That was always important to me. Yeah.
Mahalo. And I know, Kainoa, you always are looking at, everybody loves talking about the whales in Maui, but you always point out how you have to think of the snails all the way up as well. Maybe you can share a bit more to expand on this important philosophy.
Yeah, when we talk about no snail, no whale, we're talking about how one small thing, organism inside the mountains has an effect on everything that happens in the ocean, kind of what we talked about earlier. And for me, it goes out kind of back to, not kind of, but it speaks exactly what we're talking about with COVID and community, where the whole world shut down, it was important for us in our own communities to stay open and places where people can come to. Pai Loko, Maui Nui Botanical Gardens, Pukukui, where we have to keep the door open, because that's when all the riffraff is out and all all that loud noise, where do we go? Like Tamea said, and we have to keep these pu'uhonua, and we did. We keep these pu'uhonua open, the kipuka, because that was a space where we could jump into and see, although everything around us has been wiped out by lava, COVID, there's a place where we can jump back into to see and know this is how it's supposed to be. When we get out, this is the goal and this is what it's supposed to look like. And so when we talk about at Pu'ukukui, one of the things we were talking about is deforestation and how we bring Aina back to life. I always tell people, I believe Aina goes in first gear, no go second gear, no, you know, it'll do its thing. And long after we're gone, it'll stay in that cycle, you know, and it'll bring itself back. But how do we, knowing who we are and as Kanaka, how are we able to push that maybe into second gear for the time being, that we have control of some of that resource? Yeah, how do we get Aina back to sustainability as fast as we can? Because if not, we know what the picture looks like. And at Waukele Honolua is a new name that we gave to one of the old pineapple fields on the west side of Maui. It was called Field 52, and it's a 30-acre plot that we nearly 15 years ago, we took it upon ourselves to replant in native species, taking old, worn-out pineapple fields, and how do we make that back into forest again? And one of our greatest endeavors there that happened, I think it was 2017, Hokulea had gone around the globe, teaching, asking people about Mala Mahonua, what do they do to protect their resources? And we said, well, once you go around the globe in 3 years, and how, for the second time Hawaiians went around the globe, I might add, what are we going to do when she went around the globe and asked everybody what they do? What are we going to do when she comes home? And so we took it upon ourselves to say, at Waukele Honolulu, we're going to put as much native species back into the ground, create biodiversity, not just one monocrop like sugarcane and pineapple that we've seen degraded a lot of our fertile lands back in the times, and bring biodiversity and differences in plants and species, because that's what community is. Yeah. If we had 1 million doctors, then what is that going to do for us? You know, 1 million teachers, you know, we have to have people playing in their roles, kind of like how I was talking about earlier. And so when I think of biodiversity and going back to reforestation and fixing Aina, fixing resources, pulling on everybody's strengths and helping people's weaknesses gets us to that building strong communities and keeping that door open for all of us. And how do we create more buildings for more doors to be open, for more communities to be built? Yeah, because we kind of keep going to the same house. We have to build a new house, and we have to have more ike. And I know it's coming. It's coming. Yeah. And like Namea said, a lot of those kupuna that we learn from are, you know, gives me chicken skin that they're not here anymore. So how do we bring that all to the forefront to keep their stories alive, their names, and we build more halau?
Absolutely. And it reminds me of something coming up that was very, very wet just a year ago. Kaliko, maybe you could share. I know there'll be actions and things that we can do coming up around Earth Day and the festival. Can you share a bit about how tourism is becoming more transformative or regenerative to not only be the role it had played, but really make sure it's a partner to promote and protect our planet?
You know, very interesting, because I taco what everybody else is saying as well. And one thing that we recognize is that I learned a few years ago that we could before just use the ticket of highway cleanup. That would be a good one in hospitality. Today, you have to push beyond the barriers of what is easy. You know, and part of that is really getting out and hohuli kalima ilalo. You know, and it's. And one thing we recognize in hospitality is that sometimes we go and we do the work and then we turn around and we walk away. But what's happening, what needs to happen and what continues to happen is we have a lot of talk story. And the talk story we recognize is that in talking story, during COVID, when COVID happened, the world shut down, people almost lost their identity in hospitality. And they're like, how do we connect? And one place that Hyatt really reached out to was to Pu'ukukui. And we had done a 2-day planting or 2-day of Aina work. And it was over 75 people that just lined up in their cars. They didn't care how far the distance was. They wanted to do something and connect and potentially just reconnect with Aina and help to build that identity that, you know, in that short moment that everybody didn't know what to do. And so returning back to the simple things, returning back to the things that don't take too much thinking in the head, right? And so I believe that the work, the partnerships that we're working on today, there's a lot of talk story. And then there's great Aina work. There's a lot of reflection. Obviously, we call them Kilo. And it's helping to not just reflect out on Aina, but even in our offices, how do we better prepare not just the Malihini that come to check in, but how do we better prepare our Ohana that have already been here? And these are those one slow and steadies that we continue to work on with all of us as Ohana.
That's a beautiful reprioritization of what really matters most. And it gets back to the flourishing life on land is the foundation for all life on the planet. Maybe in a short moment that we have left, everyone could give a brief aspect of a vision of the future and where we're headed. Back to Lei.
You know, my vision has always been for a very long time is to create more cultural practitioners. And so right now we're doing it at the college at UHMC. You know, we created a program that we can create more cultural practitioners, but also we create the cultural practitioners within our learning centers, in our community outreach. And when I say cultural practitioners, I mean sharing all of these different practices that our ancestors had. So I think that's my vision, is to have more cultural practitioners in every household and in each community. Yeah. Thank you.
Namea.
I think for the future, you know, because there's so much things are happening, like, you know, with conservations, they've been doing the work. You know, they've been doing the Hana for years, you know, and that's in the Pauakuas and, you know, Heles like that. But now we got to move towards the Waukanakas to, you know, be more Aina. And, you know, for us, you know, we always had the focus of trying to move that to that direction. And I think there is a way that we can do it. And, you know, with all the politics aside, for us, it's trying to really reestablish ourselves back in Aina again. So that's all.
Mahalo, Kainoa.
I think the title of today's talk sums it up really well. Umauke eok aini kapono. And if it worked back then and it made sense back then, and it should for us today, to know that the breath of the land and the life that comes off of everything that we do should be done in a very pono manner. And everybody, I believe everyone innate in their souls know what is pono. And if we can set pride aside, if we can set all of these other worldly goals aside to know that we have things that we need to do to just be human beings on planet Earth, kanaka or not, wamauke eoka aina ka pono. We find everything we do in a pono sense and everything just flows. And so I think that that's for me what I see happening in the near future and far and far, many years to come.
Mahalo, Kaliko.
The vision here would be that there's no walls in hospitality. The walls come down and wamauke eoka aina ka pono. We all can do the right things, whether seen or unseen.
Reminds me of a great quote by the Chef Andres, who goes traveling the world whenever there's a natural disaster. He said, we need to tear down the walls and build longer tables instead. Then we can sit down and eat some of the great food that Namea has been growing for us. So we need to all take urgent action. We need to also integrate this ecosystems and biodiversity values into national local planning, development processes, but more importantly, do what all of you do on a daily basis. And mahalo you for making sure that Maui and Hawaii is a better place. Aloha.
Thank you so much for watching Think Tech Hawaii. If you like what we do, please like us and click the subscribe button on YouTube and the follow button on Vimeo. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and donate to us at thinktechhawaii.com. Mahalo.